Good morning, brothers and sisters. We welcome you to the services for Delvin L. Dahlke. I'm Bishop Miller, and I've been asked to preside and conduct the services today. As these services are being recorded, I'm going to read through the entire program, and then we'll begin. Delvin L. Dahlke, born January 27, 1939 in Downey, Idaho, passed away September 15, 2022 in Merced, California. Funeral services are Saturday, October 1st, 2022 at 12 p.m. in the Virginia LDS Church in Virginia, Idaho. Officiating is Bishop Brent Miller. Interment will be at the Cambridge Cemetery in Downey, Idaho. The family prayer was previously offered by Gary Dahlke. The prelude and postlude music by Sister Linda Bell. Our opening hymn today will be hymn number 292, O My Father. The invocation will then be offered by Marty Miller. The life sketch will follow, offered by Ron Keller and written by Marlene Keller. There will be a musical number, I'm a Child of God, by the great-grandchildren, accompanied by Shauna McRory. Our first speaker will be Derek Dahlke, followed by a musical number by Chelsea Lind and Morgan McRory, accompanied by Diane Carter. There will be a sharing of memories by family and friends, and then I will offer some closing remarks. The closing hymn will be hymn number 152, Till We Meet Again. The benediction will then be offered by Lonnie Dahlke. We will then adjourn to the Cambridge Cemetery, where the grave will be dedicated by Dennis Dahlke. Pallbearers are Derek Dahlke, Travis Dahlke, Patrick Dahlke, Dave Miles, Marty Miles, David Miles, Chad Hall, Tanner Hall. Honorary pallbearers, John Dahlke, Billy Dahlke, Les Atkins, Doug Keller, Ryan Carlson, and Zach Valentine, and Tim Schaefer. We will continue with our opening hymn.
Thank you. My dear kind Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to be here in this trying time that we can support each other. Please strengthen those that are grieving and have negative things on their mind. Father, please let the Spirit come into this building in our lives and our families, that we may better serve thee. And thank you, Father. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Life sketch of Delvin L. Dahlke, born January 27, 1939, passed away on September 15, 2022. Delvin Lewis Dahlke from Virginia, Idaho, 83, was born January 27, 1939 to Caroline Sarah Noah and John Lewis Dahlke in Virginia. In the late 30s and 40s, there was no electricity or telephones, and the water to the house was in the kitchen and heated on the stove. Being the youngest, Delvin had a lot of nephews and nieces living with him or living on a farm nearby. Gary Dahlke is 2 years junior and grew up as a brother almost. He remembers playing with their wind-up tank and wind-up caterpillar and played cops and robbers. Many of the cousins who came to visit loved Delvin because he was so kind and he always played with them. Delvin and Grandpa made stilts out of tuba fours and skis and sleds in the winter, and all the cousins had a great time. Doug and I lived with Delvin when our dad fought in the Korean War. Delvin also liked to play cowboys and Indians with us. He practiced roping cattle by chasing us on the lawn around the house and roping our legs out from under us. In the pasture next to the house, Delvin loved putting us on calves and then slapping them to run and laughing when we fell off, and usually it was in the mud or even cow pies. We have many fond memories at the Homestead Farm here in Virginia. Delvin attended school at Downey and Marsh Valley High School. He was in band for 4 years and played the saxophone. He was in choir for 2 years and loved to dance, or at least gave it an honest try. He played basketball in high school, and he was always busy and in excellent shape. Delvin and some friends would have boxing matches with each other up in the hills or at the school, and they called them smokers. I don't know where that came from, but he loved his horse Tony in the picture in the program, and he was an active hunter and liked mostly hunting for ducks and pheasants. Delvin loved all the horses, but he had a new quarter horse about a week in 1960 that bucked him off and kicked him in the head. Delvin was in the hospital for a long time, where he spent a month unconscious. In those days, it seemed like a miracle when he regained consciousness and was able to function. He awoke, but had to learn to talk, walk, and basically start over. Delvin, after the accident, was different, but he became even more gentle and kind. He really appreciated life at a much slower pace and was interested in going with his cousins to church. After Delvin recovered from his accident, he became an active member in the church here in Virginia, and later when he moved close to Grandma and Grandpa on Whitman in Pocatello. He was an active member of the Second Ward in the East Pocatello Stake of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and was happy and blessed in all his callings. On April 7, 1961, he married his high school sweetheart, Patricia Christensen, after knowing her at school and at church. They married about a year after Delvin's accident, while he was still recovering. Delvin and Patricia lived in Downey, then Virginia, and Blackfoot, before moving to Pocatello, where Delvin first went to work for the city in animal control. Patricia and Delvin were proud parents of three boys. The first, Derek, now married to his wife Laurel, have 2 children and 1 grandchild. Then came Travis, and the third was Patrick. Derek and Travis are supposed to have a little something to say, kind of about time with their dad. Pat and Delvin later divorced in 1973 when Delvin moved in with his dad across the street on Whitman in Pocatello. Delvin took great care of his beloved father. He worked in animal control for the city of Pocatello for many years. He loved animals and was very popular. Laura, Nelda's daughter, and Gary remember a funny news story in the Idaho State Journal where Delvin had captured a destructive seagull. I don't know why. Delvin loved animals and was always looking for owners. He would rescue puppies and try to find them homes. Again, when visiting Grandpa, the rest of the family were always welcome and loved to visit with Grandpa and Delvin. Grandpa was always encouraged to tell stories of the early days, falling in love with Grandma, and meeting the outlaws on the road after he had seen the posters of them in the post office. While living in Pocatello, Delvin loved to dance, where he met Anita at a church dance. Anita said he scooped her off her feet. They went everywhere for the next few months, and Anita's son Martin remembers driving them to Reno, Nevada on August 13, 1977 to elope. And Martin was only 16 years old. Anita and her 4 children remember going camping and fishing together. Delvin took Jill roller skating and bowling. He also loved to take Jill and others horseback riding, and in winter they would go snowmobiling. He helped Anita raise her 4 wonderful children, Tina Keating, and married to Robert Keating, David Miles, married to Lily, with 2 children. Tina had 6 children and 18 grandchildren, and 1 is on the way. Martin, or David Miles, married to Lily. They have 2 children and 2 grandchildren. And Martin Miles has 2 children and 1 grandchild on the way. And Jill Manful, married to Merrill Manful, they have 6 children and 18 grandchildren and 1 on the way. Anita and Delvin moved to Sonora, California, where they had an awesome view overlooking a beautiful valley. Delvin loved sitting outside overlooking God's beautiful landscape. Delvin and Anita were sealed for time and eternity on March 29, 2003 in the temple in Oakland, California. Anita said Delvin was the best gentleman. He took her everywhere and took very good care of her over the years, especially when her health wasn't as good as his. He drove her to all of her doctor appointments and patiently waited for her, never complaining. He was her very best friend and the love of her life. Every day, Delvin made a point to read several pages from the Book of Mormon. He continued to love children and animals his entire life. In 2019, Delvin hand-wrote a letter to Marlene Keller asking if Doug, Ron, Teresa, and the Kellers would host and have at least 1 more family reunion. Tina drove Delvin to Utah, where Derek picked him up and brought him to Pocatello. The last Dalkey reunion was looking over Highland 110-acre golf course the day before Father's Day in 2020. We all worked hard to have a non-spreader sanitary gathering in the height of the COVID. Teresa's husband, John, prepared all the food beforehand, sealing all the individual servings. We had masks and personal spray disinfectants. To our knowledge, no one got sick, and Delvin really enjoyed his family coming to see him 1 more time. After the reunion, Derek and Travis took Delvin to the horse races and was invited to come to Virginia and see the homestead by Lonnie and his son Jason Dalkey. Delvin is preceded in death by his beloved mother and father, his brother Elwood John Dalkey and wife Mary of Virginia, his brother Wilmer Bill LeGrand Dalkey and wife Bonnie Jean Dalkey of Income, His sister Lorraine Caroline Dalkey Adkins and brother-in-law James Leslie Adkins of Virginia. His sister Caroline Sarah Dalkey Keller and brother-in-law Gilmore George Keller of Pocatello. His sister Nelda Lene Dalkey Smith and brother-in-law Elwin Lamont Smith of Pocatello. He loved his family and his cousins next door. He welcomed all of those that lived in Grandpa's farm or near it, and those who came to visit him. Lita Schaefer finally remembers visits to the farm and Delvin taking time to play with his nieces and nephews. Polly tells about Billy and her riding in their Shetland cart to Grandpa's farm and Delvin always having his camera with him. She still has a picture of that he took of them in their cart. We're going to have to see that. Delvin really loved kids. He was proud to be father of seven with three boys he loved dearly and four stepchildren he loved as his own. His boy made him a grandfather to two with one great-grandchild. Anita and Delvin have 16 grandchildren and 39 great-grandchildren and three coming soon. Delvin will be buried by his next to his parents at the Cambridge Cemetery after the funeral.
On behalf of the family, I wanted to thank everybody that's here that came to honor my dad today. My name's Derek Dalkey, and I'm Delvin's son, and I'm one of five sons and two daughters. What an honor today to speak for a few minutes about my dad. Some of my earliest memories of my dad as a kid were always having fun. He was a kid at heart, laughing and playing, and that was all part of growing up with my dad. He enjoyed the outdoors, and I remember that we went on many camping trips as kids. Some of those trips were to Yellowstone Park, Island Park, And my favorite was a so-called secret fishing hole on the Antelope River. We would go and camp near the river and we'd fish for days. My dad always had a special trick, special ointment to put on the worms, something that was supposed to catch more fish. I don't know if any of it really worked, but I sure remember having fun trying. I remember one Christmas, my brothers and I got some really cool toys. One of the favorite toys was the Rock'em Sock'em robots. Anybody remember those? I think they came out like in the mid-60s or late-60s, something like that. Unfortunately, I didn't get much time playing with them, as my dad was busy playing with other relatives. And I remember one specific day, my dad and Gigi were playing for what seemed like hours. Good grief. But what fun that was. I remember going down to Uncle Bill's farm, and my dad was very excited about the racehorses and all the activity on the farm and such. Later in my life, this sparked my interest in racehorse ownership. Man, oh man, I had no idea how expensive that hobby was. But it sure was fun. A lot of fun. My dad was always game for getting ice cream and candy treats with us kids. And I always thought, wow, what a cool dad I have. But you know, my dad was so much more than just having fun and being cool. He had three specific strengths that I admired for a long time, but as I have gotten older myself, I've come to really respect and understand them. And I'd like to share those three strengths today. Strength number one is the power of positive thinking. My dad believed in the power of positive thinking. Positive thinking is an optimistic attitude that focuses on the good in all situations. My dad always could find something positive in any situation. A few years ago, my dad came up to Seattle, where I live today, and it was during the 4th of July holiday, and we were concerned that the weather might not be great. In fact, there was a chance of rain in the forecast, big surprise being in Seattle. But my dad kept saying, well, you know what, if it rains, that's fine. We always need more rain. One time I was talking with my dad and he asked me about another family member he hadn't heard from in a while, and I hadn't either. But my dad said, everyone is busy in life and it doesn't mean that we still don't love them. One time when I was talking to my dad about the accident he had with the horse, he said, it's all fine. I'm alive and I'm glad to be alive, and that's all that matters. My dad could have had a few reasons to not be so positive, but he never let any of life's challenges bring him down. Over the years, I enjoyed calling and talking to him, and he would say things like, keep smiling, stay positive. I'm going to really miss those phone calls. Strength number two is my dad was grateful. Grateful people tend to be oriented towards others. They want to get along, they want to do things for others, they trust others, they feel compassion for others. The grateful person may also be described as a cheerful person. They're given to experience positive emotions, especially in social situations. My dad had a positive spirit and was thankful for what he had and what other people did for him. There was a warmth and kindness to the way he responded to others. When I would come and visit, I would always insist that we go out for a nice meal. My dad was always concerned about spending too much of my money and sometimes would default to whatever was the least expensive item on the menu. And I noticed this multiple times. During one visit, I asked him about it and he said, I'm just appreciative that you've come and visited and you need to save your money. Dad was grateful for the many blessings in his life. More recently, we hired a caretaker to assist with the care for him and Anita, and he was so appreciative of Angie's help. He would tell me, Angie is so helpful. I'm so thankful that you were all able to set this up. When the folks moved into the assisted living facility, they had to downsize. This meant there was material things that they had to give up. But my dad always said, well, those are just nice things, but I'm glad we have a roof over our head and 3 good meals a day. The last strength that I want to share with you that I noticed with my dad was unconditional love. My dad loved without any conditions or limitations, simply put, without any strings attached. His love for his wife was a good example. He was selfless in loving her. He wasn't in it for himself. He always thought of her first. The few times he traveled without her, he was always concerned about her. And one time when he came up and visited Travis and I took him to Mount Rainier National Park. And I was going to buy him something in the gift shop. And he asked me if it would be okay if he used the money I was going to spend on buying him something and if he could use it to buy Anita a gift. He loved his family and those around him. In closing, my dad was the most positive, grateful person that I've ever met. And I know he'll be guiding me the rest of my life the right way. Thanks, Dad. I love you. Thank you.
Abide with me.
time will be yours to share some memories if you would like. We've been asked to keep the meeting or the services to about an hour, so we'll allow that time up to about 5 minutes before the hour. If those that would like to speak, don't give the opportunity. There will be an opportunity during the lunch. We'll have a microphone set up so you can share memories there as well. So the time will be yours for the next few minutes. Please come up to the pulpit if you would, so that the microphone can pick up what you have to say as well.
I ramble, and I don't want to because time is precious. But just a couple things. First of all, everybody that's helped so much. Tina is with our mom, who couldn't travel. It'd be really difficult. So grateful. Her and her family, and the service that she kind of did last week for them. Derek has just carried this heavy weight and included us all. We're so grateful for him. Marlene has done hours of work and help in her circle, helping everybody. Lonnie, I have bothered him constantly, and the bishop, I pastored like nobody's business. Angie, the angel that has taken care of him. So grateful for her. Dave and Tina's family has spent countless hours visiting, serving, loving, watching over them, helping them get breathing treatments, and we're just so grateful I'm not there, and so abundantly grateful. I have many, many things in common with Delvin, and I'd always tease the boys, anything happens, I want him. I'll take him home with me. I love him. He loves to exercise. He loves to play with the kids. He'd go to the library with us. He loves the temple. He loves reading scriptures. I love spending time with Delvin. I love buying him treats because mom would say no. Everybody loved buying him cookies. Fill up the cookie jar. One thing I wish is even though we have a lot in common, I wish I was as good as him. Something Travis said just recently, I don't even remember which trip, I think it was when they just came to the family reunion, and he said, you know, he's never had an unkind thing to say about anybody. Never. Something that I've enjoyed this last week, and I'm so sad they're not all in the pictures or in the video, but I have seen hours and hours and hours of pictures with Grandpa, with children, small children, at blessings, holding the babies, loving the babies. He hasn't held mine as much, but all of Tina's grandchildren and been there and loved them, and I am so grateful because I thought he was kind of my little secret. I was a naughty little teenager. I was a snot. I was terrible. And he was so kind to me. He'd do anything, even stealing the car and going roller skating in Idaho Falls. We had to figure out how to get it back because it died. I am so abundantly grateful that you guys love him as well and that he has touched your life, because I am grateful that he's been in my life. And I love him so much. And I'm grateful that you're all here. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
I Hello, everyone. My name is Travis Dahlke. I'm the middle son of Delvin's three boys. It is difficult to find the words that best describe what kind of man my father was, but a few that easily come to mind are honest, positive, and reliable. You could always depend on him. And if he said he was going to be somewhere and do something, he would do it. Possibly just a little later than the set time you had agreed on. But always there. Our parents divorced when we were very young and still in grade school. We ended up moving quite a few miles away, so seeing him was no longer a daily occurrence. He did, however, write us on a weekly basis, letting us know how he was doing and how his life was going. We always looked forward to the summers when we'd be able to spend a month or so with him. Spending time with him usually consisted of something outdoorsy and oftentimes shooting guns and blowing things up. One fond memory that I've always remembered was a fishing trip we took, driving on some gravel country roads and talking him into letting us ride in the trunk of the car. The trunk wasn't fully latched, so we could lift it just enough to watch the dirt and gravel kicking up behind us. It was such a simple, inexpensive thing to let us do, but it was really fun. I think my dad always remained a kid at heart. One of his famous questions was, "Are you happy?" And 9 times out of 10, the answer was yes. What I've learned from my father and will always carry with me is that life is short and oftentimes not easy. But with a good positive attitude, you can overcome most obstacles. I appreciate all of you coming out to remember my father, Delvin Lewis Dahlke, and giving me an opportunity to tell you a little bit more about him. If anyone has a free pass into heaven, it is him. I know he would be honored to know how many people cared enough to attend. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Marty Miles. I'm from Jamestown. We had a service last week, and it was, and I get it now because not everybody could attend this. Delvin was the evil stepdad, okay? I was 14, had long hair, come out of LA County, and here's this simple redneck dude in Pocatello, Idaho, you know, and so I stuck out like a sore thumb. Delvin is the most forgiving, love, kind man I've ever met. I didn't know it then, okay? I didn't know it then, and he was accepting of me, even though I might have been growing some things in his attic that I shouldn't have been, and a few other things, and you know, I mean, I put that man through the ringer. He was tough, and yes, that guy, you'd run across the front yard, and he could lasso you. I'd never seen such a thing, you know? I mean, are you kidding me? The guy had talents, you know? He would sing and play crappy. I mean, he was never on tune, but you know what? Nothing deterred that guy. I mean, I had an experience of that last night. Same guy, he just kept going. Does he know he doesn't sound good? You know, it's like, and he didn't care. He was just a happy, loving, joyous man. And you always had fun with Dell, and I agree, he was just always a kid. And maybe that's kind of way I am now, because I, you know, it's just like, Don't take it so seriously. He was always so kind and accepting of everyone, no matter what, of every situation. Merrill's like that, you know? He's just goes with it, you know? And it's just, I have a dad, but Delvin's my father.
I feel a little bit selfish coming up to share some of my memories with Grandpa, but just because I didn't get to know him as well as the kids in California did, the cousins in California did. But everything that's been shared about him, I really, really enjoyed his life sketch, getting to hear more about who he was before we knew him. But he was just, like everyone said, so kind, always. Never had a mean thing to say, and just guileless. When I think of Grandpa, he had no guile. And that just always made us laugh, even as kids. Just, he did things that he loved and he didn't care, unabashedly. He did what he loved and he said what he meant. And so some funny memories. When we were growing up in our preteen years, the really thick foam flip-flops, platform flip-flops, were really popular. And apparently he was the same size as Chelsea, my older sister, and put those flip-flops on and was like, these feel good on my arches. And he would wear them around our house, and we have several flights of stairs in our home, and Grandma would be, oh, Delvin, those are girls' shoes, take them off. You're gonna roll your ankle and break your neck going down the stairs in those. But he loved them. He was like, where can I get myself a pair of these? He loved those platform flip-flops so much. And we would just laugh and laugh and laugh at him. But he didn't, like, he was so guileless. It wasn't because we were just like, oh, he's so stupid. It was just because he was like a child, just so innocent and pure, and he loved Walmart. That's something I share that with him now. And we were camping, and they'd come up with us, and we wanted to go river tubing down the river, and we didn't have life jackets, and so we had to leave the canyon and go get some life jackets at Walmart. And so he's driving, and I'm in the back seat with him, we used to take walkie-talkies between the different vehicles as we'd caravan places. And so he finds out over the walkie-talkie that we're going to Walmart. He says, oh, Walmart, I knew I couldn't stay away from that place forever. I remember staying in California with them one summer for like a week or so before they came back out to Utah to visit my family, and spending copious amounts of time in the Walmart late at night. late at night. And my little sister Maddie following in Mom's footsteps and convincing Grandpa to buy her a bikini. And when they came from the check stand and Grandma and I were sitting up at the front of the store, Grandma was just aghast that he would have purchased that for her. She's just a little girl, Delvin. She can't wear this. And I remember young, not enough. I was young enough when he shared his experience in when he was unconscious as a youth after his accident, that I don't remember details, but I just remember that he was unfailing in his love of the gospel and in his love of his Savior Jesus Christ. And remember him reading the Book of Mormon every day, putting his feet under the couch and doing his sit-ups, hugging him was like hugging just a stack of bricks. Just, he was so fit, but not only physically, he was spiritually just a muscle man. I mean, he loved Christ so much, and he emulated Christ so well. And he loved Grandma like nobody else could. He took care of her so well. And though I don't have so much experience, I probably haven't seen him since, well, I did get to see him when he came to the family reunion for a day, which was such a joy. But other than that, it's been so far and few between, but I do have such a love for him, and he's touched my life, and he's just so many fond memories of him. And so I'm grateful for his example, and I say that in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
When Jill and I were dating, she said, there's a family reunion in Pocatello for the Dahlke family. And said, so we came to the family reunion, and you probably think I'm going to tell a story about that reunion, but I'm not going to tell that story. I didn't know anybody there, but I felt at home because a lot of my family comes from just down the road in Cache Valley, and they Logan in a town called Hiram, and I had the same kinds of experiences, and I have uncles and grandparents that were the same kind of man as Delvin, and it just testifies to me that we're all part of the same great family, the family of Christ. There's not really anything more that I can add about what a great man Delvin was. Everything that's been said about him is absolutely true. And so I'll just leave that all with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm Liz. I'm Tina's daughter. And I grew up in California with him. When I think of Grandpa, I think of him in his house in Sonora, him smashing cans and playing basketball with me in the back, trying to think he can do his spin moves and hiding Easter eggs and trying to find the big golden egg and mixing all his cereals together, which is so gross. He was like, I'm just gonna, we used only a little bit of all of them, let's just mix them all in the same. And every time I'd stay the night at their house, I'd go in and I'd find four different cereals in one bucket. But Grandpa loved it, so I'd eat it with him. And I'd wake up in the morning and he'd be working out before I fit him up. Like, Grandpa, man, fill your stomach. Start trying to punch his stomach, see if he could, how hard his muscles were. And he'd always tell me how important it was to work out every day and read your scriptures every day. And he'd always give me some piece of life advice anytime, all the time. And I was able to visit with him last month when I went to visit, because I'm now living in Rexburg. And I was able to visit him last month with my two kids, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunity I had to see him and visit with him, because I didn't know the time left he had on this third. And of course, he told me how great the food was. He said, yeah, it's not too bad today, so it looks great. I have so many pictures of Grandpa, and most of them consist of him eating. Yeah. Always eating anything and everything. And I would always tell him about my life. He's always asked me how I'm doing up here in Rexburg, and he, you know, I should get a team of sled dogs, of huskies, because they'd be great in all the snow that we get every time. I don't know if I can do the whole team, Grandpa. And he'd always tell me about his time in Pocatello. And he wanted to be there, and he was so sharp, and he'd look over pictures every day and wanted to be, you know, remember so clearly of everything that was going on. He'd ask me, he'd remember my kid's name, and Reggie's only one, and he was on top of it. The thing that I love about Grandpa is anything I'd ask him for, he'd always come at me with that spiritual answer. I'd be like, oh, Grandpa, I know, spiritual answer, but now I look forward to those spiritual answers in my life and that connection with Heavenly Father. And we know where Grandpa is. We know where he's going. And he's taught me so much about the gospel and faith, and he baptized me. And he was always been there for me and that priesthood in our family. I'm so grateful for his example to all of us, no matter if we're a member of the church or not. And the happiness he found joy in all of the little things. Just seeing him today and just his hands, his hardworking hands, and all of the time that he spent doing things for everyone. No matter how little the task is, he was always willing to do it, always willing to stop what he was doing and go and do it for you. And I'm just so grateful for the example he was for me in my life. And most of all, the spiritual lessons that he's taught me throughout my life. And to always look for God and the answer. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to see him last month and spend that time with him. And we'll miss him so much, and we just love him so much. His name seems there just crazy.
It's just been so good to listen to everybody's stories of Grandpa, and I can't help but just think about my own experiences, and it's so fun to see. I agree with everybody. He had like an iron gut, and I just remember like watching him do his like 100 push-ups every morning, and I'd be like, you're crazy. Like, what is... And then read his scripture, but like those are vivid imprinted memories that, you know, are just such a good example to me. I remember, I love every time, oh, let's see, your name, you're Chelsea, aren't you? You know, and he's just so loving, so kind, and so, I just also have like vivid memories of him dancing. And, you know, and he did the whole time, and at my wedding, and any moment to get him up dancing, he was just so into it, and he just loved it, and it was so much fun. I remember growing up, I mean, last night we sang karaoke, and his "Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog," and he always sing it, and he was just so much fun, and so loving, so kind, and just kind of was just always this calm presence. I feel like we are crazy and we're running around, and he was just always solid, just always there, taking it all in. And I just am so grateful for the memories that I have of him, and that even though we did get such short experiences being here in Utah, I do still feel like very grateful that we've had them in our lives, and I just needed to share that I am so grateful for him. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'm Tina's youngest daughter. I just had such a great opportunity because he was my grandpa my entire life. I have so many wonderful memories of him with my daughter, holding her as an infant and just carrying her around everywhere. I have memories going to Disneyland for the first time with him when he was on his way up here a couple years ago. For the family reunion, I had a wonderful opportunity that he got to stay with me because they were traveling the very next day, and I remember him. I had made waffles for breakfast, and he had forgotten his house shoes, and he had found a pair of Tasmanian devil slippers and was wearing them all over, and he licked his entire plate of syrup because he was so worried that he was going to miss a drop of the sweetness. And we have so many, I have memories of him stuffing his pockets full of cookies in Disneyland and making himself sick because he was so worried that he wasn't gonna get another sweet bite. And I just have so grateful that he was the best grandpa that we could ask for. He was so holy, and I have a very fond memory. When I was a little girl, he would ask me, "Do you think there's gonna be horses in heaven?" Because he loved his horses, and even though I don't remember him in that time of his life, he didn't have any animals or horses or livestock like he used to always tell us about, but he would say, "But it does say that the chariot's in heaven, so there must be horses up there." And I know that he read his scriptures daily, and he definitely is waiting at those gates and looking down on us in heaven, so.
I just want to say that it's so nice to hear all of his children and grandchildren, people that I didn't know, and to know how deeply he was loved. But I wanted to come up and tell you that the reason that his son made a comment about him being able to lasso and clear across the yard, well, that stuff happened because all of his nieces and nephews, I was one of them, who he practiced on our whole entire lives, he would lasso us. And he's my mother's youngest brother. And so I was 3 years younger than him. And we spent lots and lots of time down there when I was growing up, sleigh riding out in that deep, deep snow that they used to get in those years, and it would just come clear to the fences. And Grandpa would hook the horses up to the big sleigh and take us all over the fields. And we would get every piece of wool and gloves and boots we could find and sleigh. And Christmas time, we were always there at Christmas time. They'd pull in taffy in the kitchen by the big wood burner stove and playing games. And he was fun. He was just a fun a fun kid to grow up with and a beautiful human being. And it's just so nice to hear these people. I mean, that part of his life, as he, when he left, we kind of, you know, lost track of it. And it's just so wonderful to know how much you all loved him. We have too. Thanks.
Has everyone who would like to have had an opportunity had a chance? It's been a privilege for me to be here today, to listen to the tributes that you have paid to Delvin. The measure of a man or a woman is in how they're remembered. Because those are the things that you will carry with you forever. When we leave this life, we take with us two things: our free will and the memories that we have accrued over a lifetime. As I listened to you today, a scripture came to mind. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, the Lord said, "When ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." The least of these are each and every one of us. And all the creatures that God has created for us to be around. So I'm sure the Savior has had a lot of good things come his way because of the way Delvin treated others. As we close the service today, I would like each and every one of you to know one thing. There is a God in heaven, and he loves each and every one of us. As we take that thought into our lives, and as we treat others the way God would treat us, we can't help but have, when it's our turn to pass beyond our friends and our family, say how much they appreciate the way that we treated them. I know God lives. I know he is there. And that we have that opportunity as we live the best we can to someday return and be with him. If you think Delvin loved you, you can just imagine how much God loves you as well. That testimony I bear to you, and I do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We will proceed with our closing hymn, hymn number 152, after which we will, after the closing prayer, we will adjourn to the Cambridge Cemetery for the interment services there.
Thank you. Our dear Father in heaven, as we come before thee at the close of this service, Calvin, we are indeed grateful for the messages that have been shared today and for the family and the love that they've shown for each other. And Father in heaven, we'd like to thank thee for the privilege of having him in our family and the great example he was to us, and that we ask that we may continue to keep the good memories of him and the love that he has shown to each and every one of us. And Father in heaven, we ask also when it comes time for us to depart from here and go to our destinations, we'll find peace and love in our hearts and the comforter be with us that are heavy with heart, and that we'll find all is well when we get home. And Father in heaven, once again, we're indeed grateful for Delvin's family, extended family, and his friends and neighbors. And once again, Father in heaven, we love thee. We're thankful for thee, and we do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would the congregation please rise?